Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you sign up using promo code DNVR, you can place a $5 bet, and when that wins, you get $200 in bonus bets instantly from DNVR with code DNVR on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of a lot of things. We are officially here. We've made it to the weekend. Rough week, difficult news, but we got ourselves an all-star cast here. To my right, Andre Simone of DNVR Bets. On his right,
that's right, baby.
Spencer Smith of the Golf Bros. Yes.
Golf Bro One.
Big drive energy.
Have you guys numbered yourself?
That's it.
I am one.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Numero
uno. Absolutely number one. Come on. Thing one and thing two.
That's it. And behind the ones and twos, Alyssa Marie, so there we go. We got a full conversation to talk about the Rockies moving divisions, not necessarily in the city, not new ownership either for anyone that might be getting hopeful about what this conversation might look like. But no, expansion, get a little bit deeper into that. What are those cities? And then what is that realignment going to look like? Because I hate to break it to you early here, spoiler, the American League and the National League are going to die. They are going to be dead. But let's go ahead and get kicked off with Rockies news and notes. Rockies lost yesterday. They're third in a row. Should we cancel the parade now, guys, after that 3-0 start? Or is it just still spring training? It's okay. They can still win the World Series at this point.
After the first two games, I was full parade mode. And now after the last three, I'm like, hey, it's just spring training. Silver lining all day.
That's right. Also, you know, I saw from the Rockies account the White Sox are going to blow them out. In the end, a respectable two-run loss. Come on now.
That's it. Yeah, I don't know what the lines were on that game because you can bet on spring training games on DraftKings Sports. Exactly. Why wouldn't you? Although, if you did have money on the Rockies from like Wednesday, you were ripping your hair out because they gave up five runs in the ninth to lose that game. So that one would have been rough. No, Davis looked good in three innings of work. First Rocky started to make two starts here this spring, gave up three earned runs. Three hits, a walk, gave a home run up to the number nine hitter in the White Sox lineup. But Logan Allen looked really solid, a lefty reliever who we got to get to know that name because with Lucas Gilbreth now out and pretty much set for Tommy John surgery here in the next couple weeks, Logan Allen's probably the favorite to slide in that slot unless you like a 37-year-old lefty relief pitcher. I mean, that might be more Rockies.
Sure would be.
Rather than a 25-year-old guy that you're like, oh, he's been in the bigs for like the last five seasons and he's only 25 and now he's just going to focus on relieving? Wow, we could have something here. No, let's go with the 37-year-old guy. What makes more sense?
Is Joe Bimel still available?
He's still active. He may have played professionally last year. Yeah, he's amazing. Still going strong at like age 40 years old. Maybe the Rockies will have to pick up the horn and talk with his agent.
Big day for your piece though, man. You highlighted Logan Allen as the most interesting alternative, right, after the injury. For anyone who doesn't know, Patrick wrote all this up at thedmvr.com. And then you mentioned how the most intriguing replacement for Rodgers might be, you know, what we saw in the lineup today. So I don't want to jump any segments on you, but there's
we'll talk with
runway.
Susie. Yeah no, I like that. It's a good tease, right? Because I think one of the logical conclusions might not actually be that logical, really. You almost have to think outside the box and go, oh, yeah, it was right there in front of us the whole time. Bruce Willis was dead. Oh, my God, how did I not see that? That's kind of what the Rockies lineup looks like today. To your point, we'll talk with Susie about that here in just a moment. But Logan Allen is that lefty guy. Not on the 40-man yet. They'll have to make a move, of course. If Gilbreth is done for the year, he goes on the 60-day IL. That creates spot for him. But let's go ahead and take a look at that video of Lucas Gilbreth. Obviously, very disappointed. And we'll hear from him about the fact that Tommy John surgery, although he says they're hopeful in the next couple of weeks, is going to be the surgery unless something magical happens. I don't know that there's really any possibility on that. But here's Lucas Gilbreth discussing his injury.
We had the injury at the end of last year, had the PRP injection, and we've kind of had some stuff come up again. So we got some MRIs, and we've kind of looked into those and looked into some options. So right now there's a variety of things on the table. I think we're still kind of optimistic in a sense, but we're likely looking towards something like Tommy John and missing some significant time. So we're still looking into options, but that's kind of where we're at right now. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't even really have any red flags, to be honest with you. I think rolling into spring, I felt great. Even building up through my bullpens, my first live BP, I felt great. And then that second live BP, I just had something where it kind of grabbed, you know, midway through that live BP and kind of had to say something. And that's when we figured out something was wrong. It always stings. I mean, like we talked about, it's part of the job. And as unfortunate as that is to say, it happens. And you know, nobody wants to miss game time. Nobody wants to miss parts of the season, especially when all you do is work your butt off to play baseball. It sucks to miss time. And, you know, there's always a reason for things like this, and everything happens for a reason. So I'm just trying to stay kind of in that mindset because, yeah, I mean, it's not nothing you ever want to hear or go through.
So rough, so disappointing for him to have dealt with that. You know, his off-season regimen was good, on point. As he said, no red flags. And now here he is going to be lost for the year. You know, could come back early next season potentially. But even still, it's really just going to be about, you know, kind of getting his legs underneath him, contributing, you know, maybe more for the second half of the season, similar to what Tyler Kinley's going through. He's going through those motions right now, and he's hoping to be back this July. Speaking of being back, Susie Hunter is back here. We'll get to her in just a second. But yeah, a couple guys with the Tommy John surgery, you never want that. I think part of the debate for some Rockies fans is the idea of, well, if he had gotten that surgery last season, late last year, then he definitely would be back for the start of the 2024 season. Right. But you never want to go under the knife. I've never had to have a surgery like that or any, for that matter. And I know that's not the option that you want. You wait it out, you play it by ear, and unfortunately, you know, it didn't work out for Gilbreth at this point.
It's a bummer, man. You can just see it in his voice. And I know, like, as baseball fans, it's easy to be like, yeah, you should just get the Tommy John.
Right.
Do it up. We've seen so many guys come back better, stronger from it, right, with increased velo,
right,
to where we're not scared off by that anymore. It's almost like, let's get it done, because nowadays it feels like every pitcher is going to have it at least once in their career. So it's almost like, you know, getting chicken pox as a kid, you know, when we were kids. And it was just like, yep, go with your friends and get chicken pox.
Uh-huh.
It's like we want it out the way. But yeah, I mean, these are actual human beings. We forget that. Especially in baseball, where it's so analytically inclined. Like,
right.
We just think of everything as just bits and pieces. But yeah,
yeah.
This is a human, like,
true,
trying to make the right decisions for his career and his life.
Yeah, absolutely. And not pitching through that kind of pain, because that's something that R.A. Dickey did when he was in high school. And he didn't have a UCL. That's why when he was originally drafted in the first round, he didn't get paid the way he should have, because his elbow couldn't get his arm straight. It was bent because he actually ended up pitching through it. And to your point, you know, with parents saying, hey, let's just have our kids get this out of the way. I mean, there was a point in time, and I'm sure it's probably still true in some circles in today's day and age, but I can remember 10, 15 years ago, parents almost like lining up for their kid to just have Tommy John surgery. Hey, let's just do it now, get it over with when they're 15, 16 years old, so it doesn't impact them when they're, you know, in college, or maybe they're trying to become a professional and it'll be a little bit more uncomfortable and it could derail their career. Let's kind of get it started now, or get it done now before their career starts. And that's like,
insane.
That's wild to
yeah,
think
really
that existed as a viable option for guys like that. Susie Reddy here. We've got to talk with her about today's starting lineup. Again, spring training lineups aren't the be-all, end-all. Zach Veen was the leadoff hitter in yesterday's game. I know Susie had asked about that a little bit. But in today's lineup, we're kind of immediately seeing the replacement for Mr. Brendan Rodgers. A lot of options, and today's option at second base could be the most interesting one of all.
Yeah, Rymack at second base. Buddy is really wasting no time trying those different infield combinations to see how we're going to fill the hole left by Brendan Rodgers and his potentially season-ending injury. We still don't know more about what that timeline's going to be for Brendan Rodgers, but we know it's going to be significant, so we're trying McMahon at second base. And Buddy said that we're going to see pretty much every combination you could imagine.
Yeah, that's probably the most viable option is basically shuttling McMahon back and forth between second and third base and kind of taking your pitching matchup. If you got a right-hander on the hill and you want to get a lefty in the lineup, then Nolan Jones is going to be at third base and McMahon's at second. If there's a lefty pitching, you keep McMahon in the lineup and you have a right-handed hitter in there, whether that's Elijah Montero at third base or Alan Trejo at second base and McMahon's over at third. So Buddy has a lot of options. And again, this kind of speaks to some of the work that the Rockies have done this offseason with increasing their depth. You'd rather have Brendan Rodgers at second base, easy peasy, but at least now there are guys that can fill in and kind of pick up some of the slack in the wake of his loss.
I feel like the funny thing about Rockies prospects is that every guy can play every position technically. So we're going to see a lot of movement for sure. And we do know that Nolan Jones is going to get the start at third base tomorrow. So we're going to get a look at all of our options and we're going to figure out which one will work out the best moving forward.
We might not have a family member of Arenado at third base, but we do have a Nolan there. And we do have a Nojo. We're trying to get that nickname to stick. We had Kojo last year. Now we got Nojo, another Nolan at third base. I'm sure he's going to be asked about that at some point down there. I mean, the only overlap is the fact that his first name is Nolan. But somebody will ask, hey, you're Nolan playing third base for the Rockies. It will be me.
It will absolutely be me. I can't wait to send out the tweet. Nolan is at third base tomorrow.
There you go. What other questions are only you asking there in the clubhouse? I know you kind of caught up a little bit with Sean Bouchard as well.
I did, yes. I got a chance to chat with him. I talked to Cole Tucker too. I'm not sure if you guys used that clip yet, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to ask Cole Tucker about his very famous fiance. I'm going to ask him about how he and Sean Bouchard are besties now. They got down to Arizona around this. Well, I guess Cole Tucker lives in Arizona, but they were, you know, working out around the same time. They got to know each other. They just became fast friends and they are absolutely adorable. They seem like they do everything together. They're kind of attached at the hip. It's a little bromance.
Yeah, you love to see that. I mean, everybody has people that they love in their life, but look, if we're covering the Rockies, we have to cover the people that they love on the field. So it makes more sense you would talk to Cole Tucker about his love in the clubhouse, Sean Bouchard, than his love outside of that. Because again, we're trying to play 500 ball this year. That's more important.
Yeah, and well, yeah, we're trying. I think the funny thing, so I asked Sean Bouchard too. I've been asking everyone about who they think is going to benefit from the pitch clock, if it's going to be pitchers, if it's going to be hitters. And pitchers seem to think that pitchers will benefit. A lot of hitters think that hitters will benefit. Sean Bouchard was the only one who was like, no, the smarter players are the ones who are going to benefit. I'm like, okay, Sean, go off.
I like that. I like that take. Did you see the clip yesterday from the Yankees game where Wandy Peralta struck out a hitter in 20 seconds?
It's a beautiful thing.
Yep. Wow.
It actually stressed
that
me
is,
out.
It stressed you out.
It was that fast. It stressed me out. I was like, I can't watch this. This is going too fast.
Well, it's like you got to think about what it's going to look like from the fan perspective when the season starts. People are not going to want to get up and get food or go to the bathroom or get a beer because if you blink, you're going to miss a whole inning.
That was exactly my thoughts. I was like, I'm going to have to pee less and drink less beer or order more beer when I do order beer at Coors Field.
Yeah,
they're going to need to up the vendors who walk around and bring you beer.
So not only do the bat boys need to go through some kind of combine so that they're really quick, the beer vendors need to be rushing down. They need to be able to go downstairs mm-hmm. very quickly. I did have some conversations with someone who suggested, well, to your point, Spence, that now if beer sales end after the seventh inning and the seventh inning is going to get here that much quicker, you're gonna have to say, all right, well, whatever comes last, the end of the seventh inning or the 2-hour and 15-minute mark, whatever it may be, it's gonna be interesting to think about baseball in terms of time, because now, okay, we've got 20 seconds as a strikeout. Who can beat that? Now there's gonna be, oh, did you see who broke the new record for quickest strikeout? And thinking about at bats more about time. Like, we once in a while there'll be a guy who has a 17 pitch at bat. And then maybe it lasts, you know, 2 minutes, 2 hours and 15 seconds. But now we're going to be thinking about that for all at-bats. And I don't know, it's kind of refreshing in a sense.
There's a beautiful rhythm.
Patrick, it sounds like you are formulating a spreadsheet right now that you're going to make right after this show.
Yes, absolutely. I will need to do that. No, you're right. This is spreadsheet season, and I'm super excited for that.
It's spring training for your spreadsheets too, so get it going, Patrick. Come on.
You might have to have a clock on my spreadsheets to see how quickly I can put these spreadsheets together as well. I mean, it's limitless, the possibilities on all of this.
I am begging you to do that, please.
All right, you are down at Scottsdale Stadium, home of the Giants. One of the older ballparks there, but one of the nicer ones still has a good feel. It's really close to kind of old town Scottsdale. Case Williams is going to be on the hill. You'll see a couple of lefties there today, Fernando Abad and Ty Black. Tomorrow, though, Kyle Freeland and Hermann Marquez in the same game. I believe that's probably the first time that's ever happened in spring. That'll be a fun one tomorrow in Peoria.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm excited to see that. Need to talk to those guys about it, too. I have to tell you something so funny about Case Williams. You know, we know he's a Colorado kid. Mm-hmm. We asked him the other day, oh, where were you for game 163? And he was like, I don't remember. I don't know. Because he was born in 2002. Like, he's so young. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is aging me. Yeah. It was rough to hear.
That's almost pre-memories. But he didn't say he wasn't there. So you know what? Put him on the list. Put him on the list. He was probably there. So now we're at 216,552 people who've said they've actually been at game 163. Yes. The number continues to grow. And Susie, I appreciate you contributing to this. Will you be calling in and using this eCam link tomorrow at 11 o'clock?
I probably will out of habit, and then I'll realize, oh, no, it's Saturday. It's like when you wake up from a nap and, like, you think that you're late for school and you realize it's a Sunday and you're in your 30s.
That's it. Yeah. No, you'll be late for the ball game. You've got a baseball game even better than school. Slightly better.
Much better than school.
We're looking for you got still a couple more games there, 24 more hours, still in Arizona. Enjoying the coverage there. Appreciate it. And looking forward to being back in studio with you next week. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I guess I will see you next week. This has been so weird. I haven't seen you, but thanks for having me on. I'll keep you posted from out here.
I love it. Thank you, Susie.
Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah, we'll be here live like we are right now at the DNVR bar on the corner of Colfax and York, where diehards get 15% off all of their food and their drink, 20% off all of the swag that we've got in-house, as well as at dnvrlocker.com, 20% off the party buses, 20% off tailgates. Are we officially calling the April 29th game against the Diamondbacks? That's a party bus situation, yes?
Yeah,
that's
a full-on Rockies takeover.
The purple party bus.
The purple party bus. Maybe I'll ask them if they can spray paint it that day.
Yeah, we might have to do that.
Don't forget the exclusive merch either.
Oh, that's right. There's going to be exclusive merch for that. A lot of value. I mean, your ticket also is going to have some money on it, so you can go, and that's going to cover some of your food or some of your Breck brews while you're at the game there on April 29th. Access to the Diehards Only Discord. So many wonderful benefits for that. But if you're more of an Avs fan or a Nuggets fan, well, Breckenridge Brewery is doing it with their Ultimate Game Day giveaway. They've got tickets to March 9th against the Kings, Avs Kings. They're going to pick a winner for that one. Just before, you got to go to the dnvr.com/BreckSweeps, and you're going to get Lexus Club access. You get some DNVR gear, and the best thing of all for people of a certain age, a free parking pass. That's fantastic. For the Nuggets game, that's March 30th against New Orleans Pelicans. Two tickets, courtside row two. Amazing. Still get the Lexus Club access. Still get the parking pass and the DNVR gear. Again, you must be 21 or older. Link in the show description. Winners will be selected 1 week before each game. So, I mean, we're right there in that window. Head over there right now, thednvr.com/BreckSweeps. Head over to jivehive.com. That's J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E. It's virtual dispensary on wheels. It's basically Uber Eats for marijuana. It's fantastic. You get privacy, so you don't have to worry about people in your neighborhood knowing what you're up to. That's your business, coworkers, things of that nature. Maybe the best part, because it's not a typical brick and mortar type location, you're getting discounted rates, right? They're besting anything else that's out there. So they've got that much lower overhead. They're going to deliver it right to your house. If you go to jivehive.com, you can actually get it scheduled for delivery right to your home. So if you need it by a certain time, that's great. We're still not out of the winter entirely. So again, the roads are bad. Jive Hive is going to hook it up. They're serving Monument, Falcon, Payton, Fountain, Woodland Park, Security, Widefield, Aurora, Greenwood Village. Again, just visit jivehive.com, J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E.com. Uber Eats for weed. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. All right, I love our conversation because we are going to be expanding. Baseball's 30 teams. They're going to be 32. It's the longest of any of the big four sports here in America that has not expanded. 1998 was the last go-round, probably because maybe baseball was ahead of things. They didn't need to play catch-up. They were ahead of everybody else. And there's a couple cities that have a leg up on everyone else. Nashville, they've already got their name picked out. The Nashville Stars, done. It's named after the Negro League team that was in that area. They've got Dave Stewart, former general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, former pitcher, his numbers retired by the Oakland Athletics. As a player agent, he's heading that up after Dave Dombrowski was doing it for a period of time. They even have like renderings. We love renderings on this show. Here's actually an image, an overhead of what their ballpark would look like in Nashville. Kind of almost similar to Pittsburgh, where it's right there on the river. It's right next to the stadium where the Tennessee Titans play. That looks amazing. And then what they're planning on doing, because it's Music City, right? Their foundation is the Music City Baseball. Take a look at this. They're actually going to have a concert venue out in right field, like adjacent and a part of the stadium itself. Nashville Stars, they're kind of the front runner in doing everything right. Las Vegas, we know that they're Las Vegas. They almost don't have to do any work. They just got to show up and they're going to get a team. But Nashville is put in the work and they've kind of separated themselves as the lead city right now for expansion.
Coors Field and the Monforts are on watch for best right field in the MLB with this scenario.
That's right. It's not a rooftop. It's a literal concert venue that you can have and use it year round. That's the other thing. Coors Field is just sitting there all year. I mean, the rooftop you would have thought at some point would be open in the wintertime as a spot to go hang out. I think they even said that was going to happen. Maybe it has in the past from time to time. But I mean, I would go there in November on a sunny day on the weekend, just hang out at the ballpark. Why not?
Yeah, man. I mean, what a setup. And then the second team that becomes in this whole realignment kind of key for teams like the Rockies especially.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Nashville is separating themselves. Portland, they've also have some renderings. Mm-hmm. Their ballpark looks fantastic. The view from center field. This could obviously always change depending on, you know, the budget and the cost of all this. To expand, it's going to be like $2.2 billion. The stadium itself is going to be $2 billion. Like, that's a lot of cash that you're shelling out. Yeah. But this is kind of a modest 32,000-seat riverfront stadium. High-end hotels, you know, they'll have their own little McGregor Square over time. But Portland, you know, it's being run by a former Nike executive that he met with the commissioner back in September of 2017, kind of before Manfred got the ball rolling and saying, okay, here are the cities that we're looking at. So that was kind of the first big piece for Portland. The second piece in spring of 2018, Ciara and Russell Wilson were flown around Portland. There was a whole slideshow. They only got three slides into the presentation before they said, okay, we are all in. So, like, I mean, here's Russell Wilson cheesing it up already with some of the other proponents here of MLB PDX. I mean, they've got gear, they've got merch. So Russell Wilson, not going to necessarily own the Rockies, but he could own a part of another MLB franchise. The dude is good with his investments.
Yeah, between him and his wife, they probably have a great little portfolio of investments. Yeah. And I love the Portland idea. I think in general, sports going to these smaller cities is just a relative term, but not a huge place where, like, when you see, you know, the Nuggets play, the Nuggets division has Portland in it, and it also has Oklahoma City. And you see that cities like this that don't have the full watered down all year round sports really get into a team.
Right.
And, like, Oklahoma City, do you think any of them cared about basketball before the Thunder came there? Now it's like they're having a down year, but when they were good, it was one of the tougher places to play in the entire NBA because these fans, like, they don't, like, get tired of going to every game for an entire year. It's like, oh, we have a team, we have something we can latch onto. Let's go all in. And I think Portland's a great place for that. The Trailblazers, they're a mediocre team, but a great place to play and just a great atmosphere there for the fans.
And I think that's a key piece. That's a key piece to Portland's bid, is like the passion for that. I know the Portland Timbers sold out like a lot of games. It was 163 home games before the pandemic. And there was even a period of time where the Trailblazers from 1977 to 1995, 814 consecutive home games. Like, again, that's that passion. If you're not a major, major city like Denver is, right? Denver is one of only 13 cities. If you think about it, you probably would have guessed maybe there was more. But there's only 13 cities that have all four major sports teams, all four major sports that have a team. And Denver is one of only three other cities that the teams are actually in the city. It's not, you got to drive 45 minutes north like Atlanta. Right. Yeah. They're all right in there. So that's definitely an advantage. Also has MLS here in Denver. So Portland kind of adding that piece would be really nice. Montreal's another city that they've had baseball in the past. They're passionate for it. They're missing out. If you're from Quebec or you're from Montreal, you know, the surveys have gone out. They want to do that. So they've got an ownership group already kind of trying to get things going. If you remember, there was discussion, and MLB was okay with this for a while. It was sort of for 3 years, they invested some money into trying to get Tampa to start their season, you know, in the warm months in Tampa, and then going to Montreal, which was a crazy concept. The Tampa-Montreal X-Rays. Like, that would have been an awful mashup. But as a name, it sounds good. The X-Rays. Expos. Rays.
Yeah, that works. I dig it, actually. I'm into it.
You're in?
I am in. Well, and then isn't it like Toronto, the Blue Jays had to play most of their season in Florida a couple years ago, right?
During the pandemic, they were in Dunedin in 2020, and then in 2021, or actually some of it was in Dunedin, and then they went up to Buffalo, and then Buffalo kind of reworked some things, and then in 2021 they started their year in Buffalo, and then the actual Buffalo Bisons, who played AAA there, had to play baseball down in Trenton after they had lost a team. So yeah, it was a whole cluster. And Toronto, once in a while, they'll have exhibition games in Montreal, like right before the season starts. And the place just explodes. People love it. You've got Vlad Guerrero Jr. Well, his father was an all-time great Montreal Expo. So that's like a really fun thing. So they're looking at, again, a more modest 36,000 seat stadium. It makes it harder to get a ticket. It builds that, you know, that passion. It builds that vibe of, hey, this is a hard ticket to come by. You know, I do want to go. It does make it more profitable. So Montreal, Nashville, and Portland, they're doing the work.
Is there a solid, like, monetary backing, like a big money guy for this potential Expos re-expansion?
So I think Nashville is probably the only group that's done the work enough to be able to fund that, right? Uh-huh. They're all talking about, like, oh, yeah, we'll kind of be able to do that.
But also has the Nike exec and Russell Wilson bought in.
Right? Bingo, right?
What does Montreal have, you know?
Yeah, I don't think there's
Patrick Waugh behind this project. What's going on?
Could be. Yuppie, the guy inside of Yuppie. Mm. Why not? Spoiler alert, there's someone inside of Yuppie.
Is this a Larry Walker play? You know, who's to say?
Would love to see him get in that. Maybe Marquise Grissom. Like, let's really
Come
go back.
Now, yeah.
So, like, those three cities have done the work. And because they've got the plans, because they've got those renderings, now it's a lot easier for people to invest. Las Vegas has the advantage where, hey, look, we're going to get Major League Baseball. Do you want to invest in this and triple your money in 10, 15 years? Yeah, of course. So they, again, they haven't done the work, but it's Las Vegas. So it's there for it. I've kind of been contending that Major League Baseball doesn't want Oakland to go to Las Vegas because you sort of want Las Vegas to take up and clog, kind of create this bottleneck and say, Vegas has one of the two expansions. Now everybody else needs to fight for this last one. So don't balk at the price tag at it on it because Vegas is already doing it and there's only one of them. If there's two, now maybe it could be harder in those kind of negotiations to get that dollar value. So does Oakland move up to Portland and say, hey, Portland, we're not going to give you an expansion team, but we'd gladly give you the A's. We'd gladly kind of push you in that direction. It'll be interesting. There's still a lot of stuff that can happen, but Vegas seems like it would be a good fit. Might be really hot as heck. I feel like you'd probably need to have a retractable dome and a really, really good AC unit or like, I don't know, 55,000 AC units on the roof of your building to keep that place cool. But baseball, MLB coming there, and that would be the penultimate major sport to come there. Basketball is the only one, of course, that doesn't have a team. So Vegas will get a team. It's just, is it going to be expansion or is it going to be the A's?
Yeah, so that, judging by what you said, that's kind of the first domino to fall is the A's, right? Because if the A's move there...
Tampa, like, too, to a degree, but yes.
So, if the A's move there, it's like, all right, Vegas has got their team. Now these other two can be bid on. If the A's don't move there and stay in Oakland, Vegas is like, all right, we're 100% getting that team. Mm-hmm. And then the other three cities are the ones vying for that last spot, essentially, right now. Could be more.
If you were in charge of this or you had a suggestion, do you think it would be better for, and I've only been to the Strip in Vegas for a couple days, that's all you need. Would you rather the ballpark be closer to the Strip, so now you're bringing the tourism money in, or more like downtown Vegas, so it's kind of like separate from that, and maybe there's a little less riffraff going on. Is there one that seems like a more logical choice or a better choice to either one of you?
I think you drop it right next to Allegiant Stadium and pretty close to the Strip. It's just the you know, we're so lucky to have grown or be living in Colorado to going to sporting events. I went to a Broncos and Nuggets game on the same day this year and walked.
Wow.
Like, that is an incredible experience. And, you know, after you saying, what was it, only three cities have it all in the city, all four major sports teams. So we're lucky and we're, you know, kind of privileged that way. I think that should be how it is everywhere. Like, going to Arizona and being like, hey, we're in Scottsdale, you know, we're in downtown. We've got the Suns and the Diamondbacks right here. Oh, yeah, go 40 minutes out into the middle of nowhere to Glendale for the Cardinals. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, the Cubs are even like... Not the Cubs, the Chicago Bears are even like talking something about that, like kind of doing a similar situation to what Atlanta did in MLB, where again you're not even in Atlanta anymore, mm-hmm. like you're somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That could be the future of Denver sports, though. You look at all that land out in DIA, and you say, maybe eventually some shenanigans like that could go down. You obviously hope it doesn't happen, but we got the four major sports teams actually in town. We also have MLS. We also have rugby. We've got the American Raptors. Don't forget that. They're doing big things there. Rugby Town USA's team. Athletes from all walks of life. They're learning a sport along with you, and it's fantastic. In fact, Colton Strickler's podcast, the DNVR Rugby podcast, is fantastic. He's talking to coaches. He's breaking down the game in all kinds of ways, so make sure you're checking that out. The one-on-one rugby podcasts are definitely the way to go, and they got free games. It's fantastic, so head over to AmericanRaptors.com so you can get some free tickets. So you can take the kiddies. It's a fantastic stadium down there, facility, Infinity Park in Glendale. You love to see it down there. And DraftKings Sportsbook, hey, as we said, it's baseball season now. Sorry if you're a football fan, but your sport is dead. All hail spring training bets. Let's go. It's fantastic. $5 bet on that. If it hits, $200 in bonus bets instantly. You don't have to wait around. I know you guys like the NBA, no sweat, same game parlays. But again, when it comes to baseball, you can bet on the end of year award winners. They've got awesome head-to-head matchups. We were talking about that on Monday, Spence, where you look at two teams and you say, who's going to win more games? That's a fun one because it is going to be all year long that you're going to be watching. If you want the quick fix, go ahead and immediately bet on the spring training games. But if you're looking for something longer than that, bet on those head-to-heads. Bet on the Rookie of the Year award, Ezekiel Tovar. He's up there towards one of the favorites. And yet, the payout on that is still really nice. World Baseball Classic is going down. We'll be talking more about that next week as we get ready, as the first game in the U.S. is going to be March 11th. First game for the World Baseball Classic over in Japan is March 8th. So World Baseball Classic, they've got all those bets for you. Again, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DNVR, because when you place a $5 bet after using code DNVR, you win, you get $200 instantly in bonus bets with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. So we haven't said that the Rockies are moving geographically, but they are going to be moving their division, their league, or as we might call it, conference. So Jim Bowden kind of laid this out just a little bit. And in fact, actually, if we've got the map of the USA, here's kind of the layout of all of the teams right now, geographically, across the U.S., and then you can see a little purple line there through the Midwest. All the teams to the left of that line are going to be in the Western Conference. All the teams on the east, or on the right-hand side, are going to be in the Eastern Conference, which means Cubs and White Sox are going to be in the same conference together. Cubs and Cardinals are going to be. Cardinals, Royals, those are good, you know, matchups to have. But now, like, Cardinals and Reds, like, that's been around for 150 years, uh-huh. basically, right? You're going to have Yankees and Mets now in the same conference. They'll be in the same division, too, when we break that down. Mets, Red Sox, like, we're going to break it down geographically. It'll save MLB a little bit of money. But it's strange to think about the fact that the American League and National League, those will just be two terms that we won't be using anymore. It'll be dead. Maybe they'll keep them, but you're going to have like eight teams going to the American League, seven teams going over to the National League, expansion teams, you know, here and there. But is that crazy for a sport like baseball that is so rooted in its history to like blow up just a fundamental concept that they have?
Yeah, it seems pretty insane, especially when you see like, this isn't something the NFL's doing, breaking up the AFC and NFC, you know. Those right. are two conferences that have been in place for before the NFL even merged with the AFL, and you're able to keep uh-huh. that. So the goal here really is to save a little money on travel.
you're like, nah, Patrick, I'm sorry. You must have this wrong.
I mean, kind of, to
do it, because I think any other way, it could be considered unfair. Like, to me, in my head, when I was kind of trying to break this down, I'm like, okay, you can keep the White Sox in the American League. Cubs are in the National. Cardinals, okay, I know they're on the wrong side of the line, but you can keep them in the National League. And then the Rays and the Marlins will shift over. Right. But there's no real way to do that. So you can really cut down on travel. So Seattle's not having to fly to Boston, every year. Now it'll be every other year because there's a balanced schedule. So you play every team. But if they're in the other league or the other conference, now you're only going there once every 2 years, and you're actually playing teams that in your general area a lot more. So now you've got the Angels not having to fly to Texas or to fly to Houston
right.
as often. Now they've got San Diego right down the road. Like, that makes it a lot easier. And again, it throws some history out the window. But at the same time, I mean, if you're going to watch a baseball game, I don't know how many people are actually thinking about the history. They just want to see a good game. They just want to see some good competition. And I think it still makes sense in that way. It's radical. It hurts my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of okay with it.
I love the change.
Yeah?
I don't like the change. It's going to be interesting from a standpoint of, like, is there going to be a last ever AL Cy Young winner? An NL Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
that's
you
crazy.
Know, do they change right. the yep. what it's called entirely? Probably. But I personally, I think a lot more, like, and maybe baseball will be the first ones to kind of do this. I think all leagues should kind of be realigned and more the same way. You know, the NFL has so many less games, so it's so easy for them to, you know, yeah. have your division, you play your division twice, then you play X teams. Perfect yeah. math equation every year. But I think sports like the MLB, where you have 162 games, if you can cut down on the travel, make it make sense is what it kind of seems like to me. And like the Rockies being in a division with Seattle, you know, when you look at that map, we are so far away from everything. And I didn't even realize how far we are from like Kansas City. And when you look at it that way, you're like, okay, it does make a little sense. But having that upper northwest part where the Rockies and Mariners are in the same division with, you know, and get us out of the Dodgers division. I will gladly take.
Oh yeah,
I will gladly take an A's, Mariners, Rockies, Giants division.
Let's see what that Western Conference looked like. So Jim Bowden of the Athletic kind of broke it down. He said the A's will move to Las Vegas. He gave Nashville and Charlotte the two expansion teams.
So this does presume the A's are in Vegas in this setup. Okay.
So if we can see that graphic, we'll kind of get to see the breakdown of where the Rockies are at, because you know in the Midwest, Cubs, White Sox, Brewers, Twins, that's a nice cluster. But if we can see what the West would end up looking like, you've got the Oakland Athletics in the same division as the Rockies. You also have the Seattle Mariners, and again, to your point, Spence, no Dodgers to deal with right now, and the Padres are kind of a nuisance. We'll see if they're able to continue to do that, but they then become kind of out of the way. You still have the Giants; they still have money, but for the most part, like all new layout, Diamondbacks with the two teams in LA, Angels, Dodgers, and Padres. So like you could drive that whole route. Like they're only like 5 or 6 hours apart. So that makes it really nice and really convenient to go out and cover those kind of series.
I also love the fact that the teams in the same city, where there's a couple of those, they have to be in the same division.
Yeah.
Like throw the history out for me.
Yeah, sure.
I love that. And the NBA, when they had Brooklyn and now they got Brooklyn and New York playing against each other, same conference because it's Eastern and Western, but same like that needs to happen.
It's huge.
Like having the Cubs and White Sox be in the same division is just a thing that should happen, in my opinion.
I love that. Seems weird breaking up D-backs and Rockies,
since that's,
you know, like I don't know. It might be more logical to have the Giants in the West Division, which I think is more of the SoCal Division.
You could do that. You could have San Francisco. Well, San Francisco is further from San Diego than Arizona is. Right. So, like, I could
Vegas
see what you're saying.
Vegas would make sense for them, too.
But then you're linking, you know, Seattle and San Francisco together. Uh-huh. So those two, so that makes sense. So, yeah, there's a couple of different iterations. And, again, maybe Portland gets a team and Las Vegas gets one.
Right.
You know, maybe you have two West Coast expansions. Right. I wanted to ask you guys, you know, with the World Baseball Classic and trying to expand the footprint of Major League Baseball and the pull of baseball internationally, you have an opportunity to maybe go to Vancouver and Montreal. Yeah. You also have possibly Mexico City or Monterey. You even have San Juan, Puerto Rico as an option. Do you think it's just best to fit in, you know, the kind of the footprint of what MLB is right now and say, hey, this is a good fit. We're going to make a lot of money. Or should it be more important to go international with a city like that?
I think for right now, I think it needs to stay in.
Until we go to 36 teams?
Yeah. I think if this ever becomes a thing in the NFL where they get a team in London and testing that out, I think that's a huge deal. But I think throwing a team in a international city right now, other than, of course, you know, you've got Toronto, but very close in proximity and even closer than if you look, you know, on the map, even closer than the Rockies have to travel for any other games.
Right.
But I do think that it's a gradual process. And I think baseball is going through a lot of changes on the field right now as well. Get these expansion teams added, see where that fits in, because as we saw in the NHL with the expansion of, you know, two teams in the last couple of years, it changes rosters. Certain teams that were great end up becoming horrible. You know, the Vegas Golden Knights ended up becoming a phenomenal team. Does that happen in the MLB? I think those changes need to be, you can't jump to the top of the stairs without taking a few steps, and I think MLB's doing that, but they need to stay on that path.
Well, Montreal should be in the mix.
Yeah.
I think one of the selling points to Portland could be you could do some of the stuff you saw with the Blue Jays where it's like their Buffalo could be Vancouver, you know, where we play some games in Vancouver, but we are this new Portland team. Like, so I think there's some ways to mix and match it a little bit. Going south of the border would be very intriguing. I think we're a little further from there.
I think so, too.
And, like, really going true international, you know, even outside of North America or what have you, like the London example, you know.
You'd have to experiment with, like, a AAA team maybe in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. Do you expand?
Which, again, might be great.
That would be cool.
That is a very promising idea right there.
Do you hear that, Manfred? AAA in Mexico City. Yeah. What? But I know you would like this, too.
The DNVR Rockies.
but I know you'd like this, Andre. What if we had BC Milan? We expand over to Europe, baseball club, Milan. No, I joke.
I'm about it. I worry maybe not the interest we're hoping for. You know?
I joke because, you know, the other element, too, by going to 32 teams is we'll have a couple more playoff spots, right? You could have, you know, essentially half the league. You have eight teams going in it. And Spence and I were talking about this, and you know, yeah, it stinks to have a team like right around 500. Like we're gonna even see it now with the current setup that we have with seven playoff teams. Like you could get into the postseason with 82 wins. There'll be a year or two where that happens in the current format, and you go, that team probably doesn't deserve to be in. But as a guy who follows soccer, when you've got nothing, when your team is middle of the table, and your team has no chance to win anything, how rough can that be when there's just nothingness? If even if you got to sneak in and, hey, we're giving away a playoff spot, you know, for the eighth spot, you know, or the eighth and nine team will play against each other, so now nine teams will make the playoffs, at least gives you something to look forward to, right?
Yeah, it's a good point. And there's no relegation. So there's no like, oh, we were stuck in AAA for 5 years and now I'm just going to enjoy 500 ball and like beating the Dodgers in a series at home. Like that happened at the end of the year. None of us cared. But had we been through the suffering of like AAA for several seasons, that middle might feel a little more enjoyable, you know? It is the worst part of like all sports is no one likes the middle.
That's true.
It's the worst.
And that's where tanking grew out of it. If you're not good at winning, be good at losing.
Right.
Don't be in the middle.
Right, because the middle is the absolute worst possible place to be in. And yeah, of all the teams and all the leagues, the Rockies seem to get that message maybe the least of all.
They're in the middle.
Which is crazy.
Middle of the country, middle of nowhere.
Real middle,
right?
Son. Yeah, real middle men over
but
there.
If you add those... you know, the one more now at this point, you know, playoff spot or two, if you want to have some kind of play-in game and have a true wild card spot there at that point. Now you got nine teams in your conference out of 16.
Yeah.
Sure, it waters it down, but now, hey, we're in the middle. We're 11th. Guys, we almost made the playoffs. We were 11th. I know ownership would probably enjoy that kind of narrative, but there are going to be teams that will benefit from
eight or
nine teams.
It'll be an extra 2-3 weeks. We've seen it in the NBA for years where like the Eastern Conference was so weak that 500 or slightly below 500 teams were becoming the sacrificial lamb for a couple top seeds. And now you have the play-in games where like some pretty awful teams are going to have a chance to still have a one-game play-in, you know? And it's weird. I mean, even the one-game wild cards I wasn't necessarily always the biggest fan of. But I mean, and some have been great, you know, but it does, like, it was 162 game grind to then at least earn a 5-game series, you know, and even that being gone is, you know, a bit weird. But
you finish a marathon and you're like, all right, catch your breath. All right, now we're going to do a 100-meter sprint. And you're like, whoa, what? Can we maybe just do, like, a 5K? Like, maybe that would make more sense for that. All right, give me your hot takes. What are the two expansion cities so we can... go back and look at this in a few years. Where does MLB expand? Spence, you're up first. Yeah. What are your two cities?
I'm going to go with the assumption that the A's move to Vegas. So we're going to have Vegas and Nashville and Portland. I think that's a safe bet, I think, from what's been proposed at this point. But I think Portland's a great fit, and Nashville is just a great fit in general from the cityscape. And then you add a baseball team to it. Predators get a ton of fans. The Titans they've been around a long time, so it's a different little story. But I do think Nashville's a great city for another sports team.
Dre, what do you got?
Underrated part of the Nashville sell, college baseball, real big in Tennessee, you know.
Very.
You would know. So yeah, Nashville seems penciled in. And then I just think the Vegas Portland combo is a smart one. Like if you were to make this into a three city parlay, that's the smart combo, because even if the A's weren't to move to Vegas, well, Portland might be another logical moving spot. So yeah, I know it's lame to not differentiate from what Spence said, but that's actually exactly how I see it too.
I got Las Vegas and Nashville getting expansion because I think the A's will either figure it out in Oakland or Portland. I think MLB could maybe try to push them somewhere else. Think that
would
could happen.
That move the A's into that Pacific Coast division and the Diamondbacks into the, or vice versa, Or do you keep Giants and A's together for that crosstown rivalry Spence was talking about?
Exactly.
That's where that gets fun.
You could have that. Yeah, and if and again, depending on the expansion and where those teams go, now you might kick the Cubs and the White Sox back to the Eastern Conference, potentially. Just so weird. Eastern Conference. Yeah, this is a baseball podcast. This is wild.
I know. Patrick.
I mean, you could call it, you know, the Josh Gibson Conference. Like, again, you could have those names, but you know. Even still...
Sell it to a it's sponsor, rough. The Toyota and Honda conferences, you know, like, let's just go full corporate. Who cares, right?
Yeah, well.
Give me 10 playoff teams, whatever. I don't care.
Well,
I'm
Zach,
over it.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about Zach Veen winning the Mountain Dew MVP.
Yeah, dude,
and
all
you're
in.
Like, what? I don't know. No, that's the Mountain Dew Conference. That's why it's named that, obviously.
Is that the NL or AL? No.
You don't follow baseball? You don't know the Mountain Dew MVP? Well, he's back-to-back. Yeah, he won back-to-back it. Caps on that.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay. This has been great, guys. Go ahead and plug away. Let folks know where they can find you on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Big Drive Spence and on my golf podcast at Big Drive Energy.
Great stuff, man, by you and Sue. Stay tuned to DMVR Rockies all spring. And yeah, find me at Andre Simone for some betting stuff all year long.
Including spring training games. There especially
yes,
spring training
we gotta,
games.
We got to get in on the spring training games. Especially if it's shorter, I'm all about it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, like there's 20 runs being scored and the game is like 2 hours, 33 minutes. And I know you're going and looking at the high A rosters, double A. You're like, well, wait a minute. Who's coming in late in this game? Is Hunter Goodman going to get in that bat? That could be a shifting one. So I got to put a couple units on the Rockies.
Yeah.
I know you look at those matchups. We got good matchups on Twitter, at DNVR underscore Rockies, at Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at. But gentlemen, I know we built a lot of momentum going into the weekend, and Susie will be back on Monday. But unfortunately, you know what they say about momentum? It's only as good as your next show. So we will talk to you on Monday at 11 a.m. on the DNVR Sports channel on YouTube.